Let's take our Bibles and we're going to read the resurrection story as it's recorded in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'll have you turn there. If you're able, in just a minute, not yet, but if you're able, I'll have you stand for the reading of this portion of Scripture. And then I'm going to do something. We'll read it and then I'll pray. And then I'll have you be seated. And then I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done on an Easter Sunday. I'm not only going to read the resurrection story in Matthew, I'm going to go to Mark and read what is recorded there for us. Then we'll go to Luke. If you got a Bible, you can follow along with me. If not, you can just listen. And then we'll go to John. All four Gospels, we're going to read the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to kind of quickly put it into chronological order. Remember this, folks. The Bible never contradicts itself. It simply completes itself. And so there's some information in Matthew that's not in Mark, and there's some in Mark that's not in John or Luke. But it's amazing when you put the stories together, you can kind of see exactly what happened on that resurrection morning. And so let's stand, if you will, now. And if you've got Matthew chapter 28, if you're able to stand, Matthew chapter 28, we'll read 10 verses here. And then we'll pray, and then I'll have you be seated, and then we'll continue with our Bible reading. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, picture this, if you will. Many of you, most of us have been blessed with a really good imagination, so as we're reading this, kind of picture what's happening. So in the end of the Sabbath, that would be Saturday, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, that's Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And by the way, these keepers, we'll find in the other portion of Scripture, are Roman soldiers that have been sent there because some of the Pharisees and Sadducees said, you know what, Jesus said he was going to rise again the third day, and you know what, his disciples might come and steal the body, and so they persuaded Pilate to send soldiers. Now think about this, imagine if you're a soldier, some of you have been in the military, and you were assigned an assignment for 3 days, and it was to stand in front of a tomb and make sure nobody stole the body, and you know, they were there to, watch this, I love this thought. They were there to see to it that that body stayed where it was put. Now, they were worried about somebody coming and stealing it, but they had no idea what was really going to happen. And so there it is. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, verse 2, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And then down in verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Here's the announcements. Verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, and they held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these wonderful, inspired words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And Lord, they're God-breathed words. They're God-sent words. And Lord, we can trust them. And I pray, dear God, as we continue our Bible reading in a minute, you'll activate our minds, energize our imaginations, Lord, as best we can. Lord, I'd like to take every person in this room with me and just stand there by the sepulcher as we read these words and just picture it and see it. Lord, I pray that it would become very real to us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. The order in the New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So let's go to Mark chapter 16. We're going to go to the last chapter in each of these books, except for John. It's the next to the last chapter. But Mark 16, and then we'll, after we read that, go to Luke, and then John, I'll direct you. But Mark chapter 16, again, here's another accounting of the resurrection. Verse number 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun and said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. For after he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Luke chapter 24, if you'll go to the last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Interesting, the information, the added information we're gaining by reading all three accounts here. I love the account in Luke chapter 24, in verse number 1, Luke 24, 1. Now upon the first day of the week, here we go again, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre and entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass as they were much perplexed there about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments as they and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself that which was come to pass. And one more passage, if you'll go to the Gospel of John, the next book in the New Testament, chapter number 20, John chapter number 20, and we'll read the fourth account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John chapter number 20 and verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, think about this, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie in the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home, The next portion of scripture is a beautiful story of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Just spoke her name, just said Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to thy brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. I don't know about you, and I know that's probably a lot more Bible reading than we do on a Sunday morning, but I enjoyed every word of every single account. You know, folks, it's a wonderful thing to, by faith, just open the Bible and choose to believe it. You know, if you are to be saved, every single person in this room that has truly received Christ as Savior and trusted in him, you had to exercise faith to do it. The Bible says, for by grace, that's God's grace, unmerited favor, for by grace are you saved through faith. Somebody that has I won't believe anything that I can't see. I won't believe anything that I can't observe in the laboratory. You know, mankind has become so intellectual. And you know what? Our intellect compared to the wisdom and the knowledge of Almighty God, folks, come on now. It's like us standing looking at an ant on the sidewalk and comparing the intellect of that ant to our intellect. Come on, let's be humble a little bit, amen? Man's knowledge has puffed him up with pride. We think, you know, follow the science, and yet God says, you won't accept me by following science, you'll accept me by faith, or you won't accept me at all. Say, preacher, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, I do. Well, what do you base that on? I believe it by faith. I choose to believe it by faith. By the way, if you believe in evolution, you choose to believe it by faith also. Oh, no, it's the science. You weren't there. You didn't see it. You've just read a bunch of junk off the internet. And it's puffed you up intellectually so that you think that you're smarter than the Bible. And yet God, come on, his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. Folks, the distance between that ant and Jerry Ross is closer than the distance between me and God. Because, folks, listen to me. God is all-wise and all-knowing, and he's given us a book. And he says, you know what? You just need to read it and believe it. And if you do choose to believe that I was the Son of God, if you choose to believe I died on the cross for your sins, if you choose to believe I lay in that tomb for 3 days and three nights, if you choose to believe I rose from the dead, you'll have to do it by faith. Amen. And I'm so glad there was a day when I just decided, you know what? I'm going to choose. I'm making a choice for me. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. You know what? Every single one of us has to decide, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with the gospel? What are we going to do? Are we going to just, you know, act like, well, this is just a book written by a bunch of men? What? Where'd you get that idea? Something you read on the internet? You know, you're believing what you do believe because of something you read. I'm believing what I believe by something I read also. Only I'm putting my faith in this precious book, in God's holy word. And I would challenge you, if you're here this morning, you know what? Man alive, just choose to believe it. Just choose to believe it is true. And I hope that you will. To me, I think this Sunday is a special Sunday To me, this story of the resurrection is the greatest miracle of all of the Bible. We sang the familiar Easter hymns this morning. I love them. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus my Lord, vainly, vainly they watched his bed. Jesus my Savior, vainly they sealed the dead. Jesus my Lord. What's that saying? That means, you know what? They're doing all of that, but it isn't going to matter. It isn't going to amount to anything. You think a stone rolled in front of a tomb is going to keep our Savior in? You think Roman soldiers using, come on, mortar and pitch and sealing that tomb? You don't think, listen, God spoke and created that stone. And he can speak and remove it. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, I love this. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. I started attending church in 1966. I was born into a family that didn't go to church. I was 5 years old in 1966. You know what? I spent my first Easter Sunday in church as a five-year-old boy. Folks, that's been 58 years ago. Don't do the math. Don't discourage me, amen. 58 years ago was the first time I ever sat in a church and heard God's people sing the Easter hymns. For the past 58 Easters, I've been in church somewhere celebrating with God's people the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I thought 58 years ago was the first time. I was thinking when Brother Nathan was leading this song. 58 years ago, a little boy, for the first time, heard a bunch of Christians singing, "I serve a risen Savior." I didn't even know what they were talking about at that point, you know. I know what they're talking about now. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say. Come on, let the heathen rage and the wicked imagine a vain thing. Let everybody scoff. Let the atheists tout their intellectualism. But you know what, folks? Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. And then this, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Well, this is it, folks. He lives within my heart. All four of the Gospels give us an account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, these accounts, as I already mentioned, do not contradict themselves. They simply complete themselves. So we take all four stories and we take the information. We put the story together. We piece the puzzle together chronologically, how it all unfolded on that greatest of all miracles Sunday many years ago. This is basically, let me just give you a quick rundown. Mary Magdalene, along with another lady named Mary, not the mother of Jesus, this is the mother of James, and Salome. So three ladies, they start for the tomb, and they start while it's still dark. They're heading towards the tomb. Now, folks, as they make their way, well, I hope you're picturing this. You see these three ladies, they're bearing spices. See, there was such a rush to bury Christ, you know, before the holy day, before the Passover, celebration of the Passover, there wasn't time to properly prepare his body for burial. And you know what? This bothered these ladies. And so, you know what? They know that there's Roman guards. They know there's a stone. But you know what? They said, we're going to do everything we can. We might get turned away, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure that Jesus' body is properly cared for and properly prepared for burial. And so here they are on this sweet mission of compassion, because of their love for Jesus. As they're making their way, an earthquake occurs, and I can't help but see these three ladies. What would you do if all of a sudden the ground starts shaking? I think all three of them went to their knees, went to the ground, and they're there, and there's great fear. And they can't see what's happening because they're not there yet, but this earthquake, as a result of it, the stone is rolled away. And by the way, Jesus Christ emerges from the tomb. And the only ones there to witness it are the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, and they see this great light. You know what? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. And you know what, folks? The Bible says that they became as dead men. It didn't kill them, but they literally fainted. Can you picture these Roman guards? Come on, assigned to the duty to guard the tomb against a theft of a body. And next thing you know, that stone rolls away and a light comes out and they become as dead men. These three women then make their way towards the burial place, the tomb. And you know what they see? They see that the stone is already rolled away. And you know what? Mary Magdalene immediately turns to go back and tell the disciples. That leaves Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They draw near. They see the angel. They go back then after they get the instructions from the angel and the announcement that he's risen. So they go back. There's some other women that we read about that is not there yet, but they're also on their way. And they meet these women and they're kind of there sharing the news with them. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene's gone back and told Peter and John and the other apostles. And, you know, we read, isn't it sad? We read that those that were closest to him and walked the earth with him, you know what? We read that they didn't believe it. They said they treated what they said as if it was an idle tale. And you know what? Well, thank God, Peter and John at least said, you know what? Let's go see. Hey, let's just go see. And you know what? They went on a foot race. Well, folks, I don't know a lot about them, but I know this. John was faster than Peter. That's what the Bible said. He got there first, looked in, and you know what? No body. The linen clothes were just folded there. Peter does the same thing, goes, looks in, and they depart to go back and tell the other disciples what they've seen. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene can't keep up with either one of them. So can you see her now passing the other women and passing Peter? Here's these ladies, they're bunched together, halfway between, not knowing what to do. Here comes John, here comes Peter, here comes Mary Magdalene, here comes Peter, here comes John. Mary Magdalene now gets to the tomb. And you know what? She starts weeping. And I wish all of you could have heard the Sunday school lesson in here. Many of you did. Brother Hoxie did such a good job of talking about Mary Magdalene. You know, the very first person Jesus chose to appear to may have been the most unlikely we would have nominated. Here's a woman that was possessed by seven devils. And you know what? Her life was completely changed the day that she met Jesus. And you know what? He cast those devils out and he healed her. And she, by faith, put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior and became one of his most loyal followers. And there she is at the tomb weeping because she thinks she didn't see the angels earlier. She didn't get the explanation. She thinks that somebody has taken their body and hidden it. She's still distraught over this. And then you remember me reading that encounter between her and Jesus. What a sweet story. And, you know, she sees Jesus. He's now in his glorified body. She doesn't recognize him. You know, we see when Jesus is in his resurrection ministry, there's sometimes that he veils from people who he is, and sometimes he allows them to see who he is. And so Mary thinks he's the gardener, you know, an employee there to take care of the cemetery, if you will. And so she begins to ask him, where did they take the body? And she's distraught. And then I love this. All Jesus did was just speak her name. And as soon as she heard Jesus speak her name, she knew who it was. And you know what? She was the very first person Jesus appeared to. And so now he tells her, you tell the disciples to head to Galilee and I'll meet up with them. Well, meanwhile, there goes Mary Magdalene. Remember these little group of ladies still trying to decide what to do? They head to the tomb. They see the two angels. They hear the angel's message also that he's risen. They head back to find the disciples. And as the ladies head back, this other group of ladies, they're met by the risen Christ also. By the way, folks, it's calculated that over 700 people saw Jesus after the resurrection. 700 people. He appeared to 500 people at just one time. His post-resurrection appearances, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the women that were returning from the tomb. Later in the day, he appears to Peter. Then he appears to two disciples going to Emmaus, walks with them. Remember that great story? Then he appears that night to the apostles, 10 of them. Thomas isn't there. Remember doubting Thomas? A week later, he appears again to the apostles. Only Thomas is there. You know, and then in Galilee to the seven by the lake of Tiberias. Remember, I go fishing. Jesus had to go back and recruit them. In Galilee on a mountain to the apostles and 500 believers, 1 Corinthians 15:6. At Jerusalem and Bethany, again, he appears to James. At Mount Olivet before the ascension, that great story where he gives the great commission. And then after he ascends, he meets Paul on the road to Damascus. Stephen, come on, outside of Jerusalem. Remember when he's getting stoned, he looks up and sees Jesus. To Paul in the temple in Acts chapter 22. To John on the Isle of Patmos. Come on, we're studying the book of the Revelation on Wednesday night. Folks, listen to me. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. You know what, folks, listen to me. I can't bring one of these 700 people back here. I can't bring a one of them to walk in the door and say, hey, let me tell you, I'm an eyewitness to the account. And yet there is eyewitness testimony. And you know why I believe it? Oh, not because 700 people seen it. I believe it because the Bible says it. I just keep going back to this, folks. You know what? Listen to me. I think we've gotten almost too smart for God, or at least we think we have. You know, folks, listen to me. It's not intellectual not to believe the Bible. It's foolish not to believe the Bible. But if you're going to believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to have to believe by faith. If you're going to believe that he was born of a virgin, you're going to have to believe it by faith. If you're going to believe in the miracles of the Bible, you're going to have to believe them by faith. If you're going to believe that, you know what, there is a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you got to believe it by faith. If you're going to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you got to believe it by faith. By the way, nobody can do it for you. You know what? We're going to get to it, but the Bible's very plain that God gives every one of us a choice. You know what? Jesus Christ chose to do what he did for you, and he wants you to choose him. But every single person has a choice. You know the verses, for God so loved the world. You know this very famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, well, I love it, whosoever invitation, this is for everybody. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But whosoever believeth in him, someone's got to make a choice. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now notice verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, I went to a church and they told me all of what I'm telling you, but you know what? They could tell me about it, but they couldn't make me choose one way or another. I had to make a decision. I'm so glad as a young child, you know what? The gospel's simple, folks. As a young child, I just chose in my heart to believe in Jesus. I chose to believe that he was the Son of God. I chose to believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I chose to believe he laid in that tomb, you know what, lifeless. Come on, lifeless for 3 days and three nights. But folks, listen to me. The best part of the story, come on. The best part of the story is up from the grave he arose. He defeated death. And you know, if you're going to believe it, you got to believe it by faith. Let me give you quickly, what's Easter? What does it mean to me? I give you this. Listen, I'm not going to take five more minutes. Listen right up here. Watch this. The resurrection means this, that the gospel story is complete. Right. You know, the gospel story, as we read in 1 Corinthians just chapter 15, is this. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Here's the story. Christ died for our sins and he was buried. But folks, what puts an exclamation part on the gospel is that he rose again. Amen. I remember when I was first learning how to win people to Christ, and we just went through soul winning training here, and there was a young boy that my dad asked me to deal with, and I was going through the Romans Road, doing the best I can, trying to lead him to the Lord, and you know, and I talked about the fact that he was a sinner and he was under conviction of sin. Folks, listen to me. Making excuses about our sin will never get a person saved. Blaming your sins on everybody else we have to come to God in humility and repentance, understanding we're a sinner and we have to own it. Come on, it's nobody else's fault. I stand before God guilty. This boy understood this. He understood that the consequences of not believing in Jesus, not trusting in Christ. Hey, you know what? This is still a church that preaches on a literal hell. You know why? Because this is a book that teaches a literal hell. And so I covered that, and then I covered how Jesus died on the cross for his sins. And you know what? Then I told him, if you put your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, that he died for your sins, and you call upon him and ask him to save you, he will. And then he looked at me. Remember, I'm new at this, folks, so forgive me. But he looked at me and he said, well, why would I call upon Jesus? You just told me he was dead. And all of a sudden it hit me. I didn't tell him the whole gospel story. Folks, you know what the resurrection means? The gospel story is complete. Yes. Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. Watch this. But you know what? That did pay for our sins, but him raising from the dead allowed him to defeat death and offer us eternal life in heaven. So what does the resurrection mean? Think about this. The resurrection means that the gospel story is complete. It means that eternal life is available. I just said that it's available to each and every one. From the day you're born to the day you die, I believe God is holding out that gift. And he divinely works in your life to give you opportunities to make that decision. Somebody at work witnesses to you. Maybe a grandma that's praying for you, or a mom, you know what, that's brokenhearted over the fact that you're not saved. You know what? Maybe it's a cousin or a brother, a next-door neighbor. In our testimony, a next-door neighbor cared about my mom and dad, and our family started inviting us to church. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. God uses people, but that is the working of Almighty God. And you know, today, if you're without Christ, once again, you know what? God's brought you to a place where you got an opportunity. That's a blessed thing. But you know, the last thing is this, the resurrection. Yeah, it's the completion of the gospel story. It means eternal life is available. But you know what the resurrection means to you today is that you can be saved today. If you can be saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, listen to this, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's what I forgot to tell that little boy. Hey, he did die for your sins, but he also rose from the dead. And you know, folks, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Shalt be. This is a might be. The Bible goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth in the righteousness. Folks, listen, you can believe that Jesus existed. Well, I believe in God. I believe in God. Intellectually, listen, do you believe with all of your heart? All of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what? That he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you understand that you're a sinner, look right up here and we're done, and you feel Holy Spirit conviction about that sin, and you say, preacher, I know that I can't get to heaven on my own merit. Listen, holy God, perfect place, we're sinful people. Something's got to be done about our sins. God wants to cleanse you today. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to adopt you into his family. He wants to make you one of his children. And, you know, like I said, maybe everybody in the room has already done that. If you have, man, isn't it awesome just to go back over this and rejoice in what God did? But there may be some say, preacher, you know what? I feel God's conviction. I feel his working in my life right now. And I know down deep I'm not really saved. I've never been saved. I've never been serious about it. But I'd like to be saved today. Hey, you know what the resurrection means? It means salvation, eternal life is available right now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to ask that you be real still, because for just a minute, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to talk to you. And I'm having us bow our heads and close our eyes because I don't believe in embarrassing people, and I don't want to embarrass anyone. And so I'll treat this time very sacredly and very privately. But I just wonder, as you sit there today, you say, preacher, you know what? God is speaking to my heart. The honest truth is, if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I do know that I'm a sinner. And I feel conviction about that. God's causing it to weigh heavy on my heart right now. I know something needs to be done about it. Preacher, today, I just want to accept Jesus Christ by faith. Just because God says it's true. Just because I choose to. You may be here today and you say, preacher, you know, I've not been saved, but you know what? I believe today, I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I choose to believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I choose this day by faith to believe that he laid in that tomb for 3 days, but you know what? On the fourth day, he rose from the dead. And he did it for me. Well, I want you to get that. Why did Jesus die? He did it for you. Why did he lay in that tomb for 3 days? He did it for you. Why did he defeat death? So that he could offer you and me eternal life. Hey, he did it for us. Can you see him holding out that gift? It's all paid for. Thank you for that special song. Right before the message, it's all paid for. It's waiting for you. Say, preacher, what do I need to do to be saved? Let me ask you some questions. You don't have to answer them out loud. Answer them in your heart. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe it with all your heart? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that he was laid in that tomb for 3 days and three nights? Do you believe that he rose and defeated death and now offers you eternal life? Do you believe that with all your heart? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It also goes on to say this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, you got to believe, but you also got to receive. Well, I believe you bought that car for me. Well, did you go get it? Did you receive it? How do we receive it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to lead us in a prayer. I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'd ask you to pray this prayer. By the way, repeating words that a preacher says doesn't save anybody. But if you pray this and mean it with all of your heart, where you sit right now, God hears it. And God will answer that prayer. If you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just pray silently in your heart. Say this, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. Please forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe by faith you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were buried and I believe you rose again. Please save me right now. Take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Nobody's looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you did that this morning, you're not ashamed of it. By the way, I won't embarrass you in any way. I just want to know so I can rejoice with you. If you just prayed that prayer, preacher, I meant it with all my heart. Would you raise your hand, just raise it real high and put it back down so that I can see it? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, thank you. Many, many, thank God. Good, good. Heavenly Father, thank you that you still save people that want to be saved. Lord, thank you so much for your mercy to each and every one of us. Lord, you created man, put us in a perfect situation. We chose to sin. We've got nobody else to blame. And Lord, you could have turned your back on the human race and just said, bad experiment. But you didn't. I don't know why. We'll never understand it. But you loved us so much that you were willing to send your Son to die on the cross for our sins. I just pray, Lord, that you would please, dear God, please, that you would bless these that have raised their hand, professing their faith in Christ. I pray, Lord, that as you have now come into their lives and saved them, I pray that they would hold on to these verses, but as many, John 1:12, but as many as received him, there it is, we have to receive it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And Lord, for these ones that have believed on you, trusted on you, called upon you, received you, you said, you promised that they at this moment became your children, the sons, the daughters of God. What a blessing. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless if there's someone here that, Lord, never got saved. They know they need to be saved. Maybe they need somebody to talk to them. I pray, Lord, they would respond during the invitation, Lord. They would come and they would let us take the Bible and show them more in depth what it means to be a Christian. Thank you so much, Jesus, for working amongst us.